Hey, y'all. My name is Ann Wyatt. I started my career in workforce development with the state of Kentucky in 2010. That experience ignited a deep passion for manufacturing within me. I started this show hoping to raise more awareness around the bright outlook manufacturing careers have. Join me as I sit down with some of the manufacturing industry's most successful change makers and learn how they're partnering people with technology. It's time to give people more meaningful work. This is Workforce 4.0. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Workforce 4.0. So stoked to finally have the one and only Eddie Saunders on the show with us today. Eddie is a rock star. And if you've been living under a rock yourself, for those who may not know, Eddie is out there doing his own thing now with his company, Speak Friend. And it's been long overdue that he is on the show. But Eddie, I could go on forever. I'm going to let you jump in. How are you?
It's good. I'm staying a busy boy, do a lot of things, like to diversify my excitement, if you will, but just trying to really squeeze life dry and turn over all those stones that some people live underneath. So I enjoy it. I'm having a good time. It's really cool to be able to just to talk with you today. And never late, we arrive precisely when we mean to.
That's right. Yeah, I'm podcasting a lot today. I get to talk in Eddie. It's a problem.
The Scorpio thing.
Eddie and I like to have that running joke because we share a birthday. Also, for those listening, we rock. Obviously, we're just the best. Thank you.
Glad they accept it.
They've accepted it. I think we're well received amongst our peers, wouldn't you say?
I'd like to say, I know not everybody's cup of tea, but a lot of people don't even like tea in the first place, so I don't take it personally.
That's right. We can be Kool-Aid. We can be anything. So I hear you. Let's kick off the conversation formally. And I know that you just got back from IMTS, as did I. And I know you were so busy during the event. You missed karaoke.
Yes.
Like, where's my heart? There we go.
Yes, heart was broken. Karaoke is one of my favorite pastimes for sure. I've been in theater and in performance, and I feel like I was born on a stage. Since I was 3 years old, been doing things along with musicals and just general performance. I've done choir, and I've been a singer-songwriter as well, and I've played in a variety of different bands as well as church praise bands. And so music is a huge thing to me. And if I didn't have to be so demanded throughout every single day of the show, I 100% intended on going to the karaoke bar, because that's something that I really do love. And a lot of the opportunities that I get to sing, I really enjoy it.
Same. Yeah. And this is news. I don't think that we've ever really talked about theater or anything like that, but this just goes back to show you, I think there's something to this birthday thing. So I played piano and guitar, and I was in a praise band, also a little rock band. All girls. It was cool. We were fun. Yeah. And I also really enjoyed theater growing up and did a lot of community theater. And I got to say, Andrew Lloyd Webber, where are you on him? Like Cats, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Evita, Phantom of the Opera.
Solid list within itself, like a solid list. And as much as I love these larger productions, when seeing a show at your major theater in your big city, those are cool. I'll never forget being able to see, there have been multiple shows. Wicked. Oh my goodness. I cried during Wicked.
Do not care. Wicked.
Don't care. Who knows that I cried during Wicked right before the intermission, because that high note when she's lit, it's just amazing. But back to your original point, what I love the most, aside from just big productions are great, you see the professionals, but I love regional and local and community theater, because it's renditions and it's people who are just as passionate about it. But my favorite above all is going watching like high schools perform shows, because it was such a big root of where I came from and big inspiration to honestly who I am today. I loved high school theater so much and really thrived and blossomed in that area. So I love going back, and every year when our local high school has the theater, and then multiple around the area, you will find my kids and I, we're all around these shows, and it's great. I appreciate the effort that goes into it, because I was on those stages for many years.
I love that. So yeah, sometimes you gotta support the kids, and like, they're the future, right? And the future workforce is something we talk so much about on this show. Awesome.
I love that. So if you had been in karaoke, what would you have sang? What would you have hit us with in all of your Eddie swagger?
So depending on the list, because it does vary by the DJ that's there, but assuming that it's Chicago karaoke, your DJ, they're going to have a little bit of everything. An easy one that's a real crowd pleaser that shows a lot of my vocal range and ability that can also be sung in repeat is Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. That's a big one. Nice. For sure. Depending on the type of bar that I'm in, if it's like a biker bar or something along those lines and there's a rougher crowd, if you will, or it's later in the evening, Mustang Sally is a go-to. That's a big inspiration. Nice. From my uncle, who I've watched perform that for years when I was a kid, and his jazz band, or his like blues band. So those are probably the top two that are most well-known. I have delved into Gonna Find Another You by John Mayer. That's been a real big one that I've sang in addition. And I do have a little bit of a list, as you can see, depending on situations and layers, who's around, what time it is.
Yeah, same. I ended up doing Truth Hurts. I wasn't like super into it. It took me a while to figure out what I wanted to even do. And I was like, I don't know. There was just something... I don't know. I was having a hard time like picking the perfect song. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't. I could have done Alanis, which I do mostly in situations like that. It's like safe, but I just didn't feel like being safe that night, Eddie.
Sure.
I didn't feel like doing it.
I get it. Like a stand-up comedian who tries those jokes on some of these smaller stages, see what works. And then when you have an opportunity, like a party amongst your peers and friends where you really got to show what you got to show, you can whip out all your big jokes and it goes back to, we've done this before. So I get it. You got to take some risks. And that seems like a really good stage to really try something different, try something new and really show out.
Yeah, it was a fun time. We missed you.
Well, I'm glad the good time is had. Didn't question it whatsoever. You wish that I could have, and maybe in hindsight could have, but I wanted to try to do the responsible thing, knowing what I had to do literally the next day.
You were there. You were working hard the whole event through IMTS. You were recording and doing all kinds of stuff. You were everywhere.
That's true. All over every single hall, every single day.
Oh, man. We don't ever really get to spend a whole lot of in-person time together, but I always enjoy the time that we do get to spend together when we're in person, because I feel like, and you were really a big supporter of me coming out of my own shell in the industry and in the content that I make and all that stuff. And you have always embraced yourself. You are 100% authentic. What as Eddie Saunders today on this show is the same Eddie Saunders that you will see walking a trade show, that you will see out at the community theater. I promise you, it's never changing. And I love that you're so authentic. But what does that mean to you as someone, like when somebody's like, oh, you're so authentic? What do you think about that? And what is it?
I think it comes down to just security. In general, and people could one blame it for confidence, but what brings confidence and what is the breeding ground of that? And that is security and being very secure, like with yourself. And that doesn't happen overnight, because we know ourselves, we know how we shine, but we also know where we fail. We know our snakes and we know the worst things about us and the skeletons in our closet. And so I remember during the retreat that we had gone to just with our little creator group. And one thing that I had, put on the board is that if you're a good human, you cannot be an imposter, if you will, or you are not an imposter, I guess is what it was. And so people think being authentic is, oh, just being yourself, which is cool. But that comes from being confident, because a lot of us in a lot of situations, we don't, and I hate to say the word like safe place, if you will, but like we find ourselves where we do have to reserve because all these specific scenarios, which we're socially engaging in, aren't exactly the safest of places. So we feel we have to hide a little bit of who we are. And I do that to an extent, but I feel like there's two parts of being authentic, right? And one of that is being secure with yourself, but also being like situationally aware. Because some people, I hate how there's a stigma, but yes, I'm just authentic, I'm just myself. When in all reality, you're just an a-hole. Like there are some people who use that. I'm just myself. I'm unapologetic. Me, and I'm like, yes, that's cool. But the thing is, though, that is almost to your detriment, because yes, we're going to be ourselves and to do this and that. But if you're not situationally aware and you're too much, and I'm not saying that it's essentially a bad thing, but as we both know, as human beings, we can be authentically who we are. But we have to remember that in order for us to do that and to receive that energy in return, we have to interact with others. And if we're too much of who we are, and it's not well received, I'm not saying we need to change for others, but situational and like emotional awareness is a big helper in building that security so that I know that I can be 100% myself. But in certain situations, I just need to gauge that out because it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I would agree with you. In real life, like I think probably around more other people, I'm more reserved. I'm more chill. I'm more laid back. In real life, I'm type A to the core. I'm anal retentive. I'm OCD. Everything has a place and I'm like hostile about it. And I don't care because everything gets done that has to get done, right? And running a business and doing the things that have to get done in running a household and managing Phoenix and all the things. But I think that surprises people like through my life when they really get to know me and they're like, holy crap, you have no chill. I have no chill. I can't afford to have chill. Yeah.
I get it. We'll call it situational awareness.
Yeah. So I try to like not oppress others in public with my no chill. And keep the vibe high and really feed on the energy of we're all a part of the same collective, right? And I'm grateful to be here and I appreciate the opportunity and all these things that lead to a positive people interaction and experience. And like we say this a lot in interviews, be authentic, but know when to draw the line. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I have surpassed the line many times. And I still do. I realize that sometimes every bit of who I am, even though we receive the affirmation that we receive, not that we seek it, some do, but nonetheless, we receive it regardless. But I rely a lot on the outside world to provide me my gauge on what is too much. But I still do believe that it roots one in security. Yeah, but then is very much powered and bolstered and elevated by just situational awareness and being empathetic to those around you.
But I think, you know what I love that you're out there doing and why I think how you're really setting yourself apart in manufacturing, like the industry and influencing and the content that you make, is that you're bringing that to light. And your manufacturing has always been a little bit stuffy, we'll say, with the way that we are expected to interact from a business perspective or even like the branding or whatever. And I really think that you're out there pushing that line of we have to, as an industry, start accepting like people in their authentic selves. And we in turn have to be authentic to the people that we're working with.
No, I agree.
You kill that. You nail that.
Well, I appreciate that. I've tried to be a lot of people in my life. And as an actor, I've had the opportunity to even act like other people and characters in my life. And through lots of chipping away at who I am as a person, because I have made it a mission to really optimize myself in a lot of ways for mainly my own, like my own benefit. And just because I can only really look out for me, I've got my kids and my family, but I can only optimize myself to the level in which I need to. And so it's a big driver. It's a big driver. And so I think that it does bring a little bit of empowerment there, but still it remains the same. And if I get to focus on just leaning into who I organically am, I don't really have to nearly modify as much. And I can just make little micro adjustments, remain situationally aware, be empathetic, because that's really the superpower and the engine of who I am. And that's brought me way more blessings in life than anything else. So as long as I continue to use that as a North Star, as I've adjusted over all these years, I'm going to continue doing what works and leading with empathy in a variety of circumstances across the board, business, life, whatever it may be. That fuel is still burning bright. So I'm going to continue to burn that till the light turns off.
I love that. What else can you do? Just keep going.
Well, I've tried lots of other alternatives, but knowing that, I just like to think I've got a pretty good system of how to continue to optimize myself and continue to challenge myself. I don't have everything figured out, but I'm pretty confident in those regards. And so I don't require others to challenge me because I'm continuously doing that for myself, which therefore makes the other challenges and adversity that I'm faced with a lot easier because I've calloused and prepared myself for such things. Because that's really what life is continued adversity and then we die. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but everything else in between is an accessory.
You kind of, you got a point there. And I think, Yeah, I think like industry and business is very comparable to life, right? And do you think that we're doing a better job of embracing the authenticity of others in manufacturing than we were?
I think there are lots of really good examples that are forcing individuals to recognize the value of it. And for those who don't understand it, are watching it happen. And like those who do get it are the ones being noticed. And like my clients are specific examples of that because we're applying things that are working in a lot of other industries, which are humanizing a lot of your efforts. And so people who are able to be their authentic selves are being featured and put in the forefront and gaining much more traction and much more reach, frequency. And there's even data behind how much more well-received some of this content is when the human beings are led, and sometimes even not even the most, you know, some very unorthodox, I should say, human beings who you typically wouldn't think should be brand led, but they are. And it's wonderful to be able to see that happen. And everyone says people they transact with and connect with people they know and trust. And we forgot that message when people just wanted to be brand promotion heavy, which I'm saying there's a component to that conversation. But when you put the right human beings and they are authentically being themselves, but while also properly positioning the brand, like that can happen organically if done correctly. And it's just interesting the amount of effort that's not being put into that. So to come back to answer your question, I do think it is being recognized, and it's almost a prerequisite for someone to be content and to want to actually outwardly promote the businesses that they work for. And they're becoming great proponents for it. It's cool to watch.
It is really cool to watch. It has really evolved from 10 years ago. I'm sure people that have been doing this longer than us and like, wow, the industry's really changed. And they would have more insight into it. But last 10 years, it's really evolved from my own perspective. So when you're working with your companies and you're like borrowing other ideas or maybe approaches from other industries, which industries are you looking at? Is there a specific one?
I really pay attention to not necessarily industries per se, but B2C brands. And so individuals who are directly hitting consumers, because they're going to market in a different way because they understand they're primarily hitting their audience from that 5 to 9 slot. And that's a figurative time slot, but everyone thinks about your 9 to 5 and they forget about the 5 to 9. And so if we go back to the roots of sales, and that's getting human beings to make decisions, in order for us to do that and to properly position ourselves as an option, so when they are ready, they know that brand we are representing is the least first option or second option that they think about. It just better puts them in the position. So we're seeing a big shift of people who are just trying to get mass amounts of lead counts for their salespeople just to drive them into a sales funnel. We're taking almost just a small step back figuratively and creating high intent hand raisers. And you do that through speaking to the human first. And that's also why this human led content is receiving objectively across the board better performance, again, across the board, specifically because we're catering it to the human beings that are actually receiving it and not just trying to give them information using the I perspective, which is not this I, it's the letter I, like I think this, I feel this, I talk this way, I communicate like this. We're turning it into how are they receiving it, how are they communicating, in reverse engineering with intention.
That's genius. And so many people don't get it. Because yeah. I've had that same concept for a while. When is the last time you got on the gram and looked at machinery solutions? Yeah, I don't know what you do in your spare time, but I get on the gram to watch the people on the gram make the reels that are funny.
Yeah. And I understand how there's not a lot of value tied to it. Because if you look at even marketing just 10 years ago, I was emailing somebody this morning who told me they're focusing on an SEO agency to help their SEO game. And I'm like, I care about you. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a 10 years ago game. And I get it because it was such a hot buzzword. But with everything that's changed, even in the last 3 years, it's evolved so much. But manufacturing, even as I've noticed in the last 6+ years, is multiple years behind every other like industry when it comes to what they're able to put out there in their marketing purposes. The only other agent or industry I think that is behind is government. That's because they're not allowed to actively market as much.
Yes.
But I digress.
You to be a thorn in my side. They will never listen. I'm not going to lie. Things move very slowly over there.
I get it. I get it. And, but to that point, that just means that there's lots of opportunity. And I think that a lot of manufacturers are now getting hip to, wow, there's lots of data behind content. We're not just posting things to post things, and you can actually use this as a strategy. The results that are being produced are there. I have so much data over the last year now over just results that we've produced and actual traffic that we've been able to drive to sites and how that translates to like bottom line impact of these businesses. So it's cool to be able to prove that, but it is still an uphill battle. It doesn't help that there's, you know, a current election scenario year, and those are always wonky years, but there are still wise individuals who are still pressing while people are hitting the brakes. And it's those types of brands that when things do get rampant again, those brands win.
They'll already be ahead. That's awesome. You're on it. You're on it. That's interesting. Do you encourage them to find people to represent their brand in a way, like maybe internally, and like people that have that authenticity that aren't afraid to maybe be a part of the content? Is that something that you encourage?
Yeah. But the thing is, though, like not all subject matter experts are created equal. Some of them are great. They can tell you the information and you have to synthesize that. And then do you turn that into clips that you can have a more presentable person read? I've been a part of a company where we purposefully hid the CEO as much as possible, not hid them, if you will, but we didn't put their content out nearly as much. They were a personable individual, but there was just some abrasive pieces of who they were and how they came across. And we realized that wasn't always the best received by people who are making very large purchasing decisions for this entity. And so that's why we leaned into other individuals, including myself, to humanize it on a better level. And so like, I do recommend if you have these subject matter experts or individuals who you can feature. It was funny because after I started really rocking it a couple of years back, you started seeing much larger brands trying to find like their person. And it was great. It was super inspiring and it was very timely. And I take no credit for anything because there's no proof in data other than just like serendipity and time, if you will. But aside from that, but you saw it and then people are still doing it. And so there's still that belief there. I still do believe in the industrial space, like depending on the type of product or service that you're promoting, it makes it difficult to tie into the influencer market. But I have had great success. And I would argue that aside from like Titans of CNC, there's been nobody in this industry that has done more extensive collaborations with influencers and B2B content creators than myself. And I say that boldly, but I also say that very accurately with the exception of Titans of CNC. Because I have facilitated collaborations with some of the largest brands in the entire industry and some of the largest creators in the industry and had amazing results from it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. I think that you're on to something. I think that when you're using these social platforms, again, you're not really there to, you're there for your own entertainment, and it's a very personal one-on-one experience. And if you can find somebody that's out there crushing it, that's like making content and that has their own personal brand, it's easier to captivate, essentially borrow their audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not all collaborations are created equal though. So I won't get into it because there really is a whole ideology and there's a way to, again, reverse engineer it with intention, but there's viability in the manufacturing industry and just not for everybody. And I will be perfectly okay admitting that it is not for every brand, but for the brands that can, it's great. It can produce some real good objective results for you.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how like also like the platforms, how they continue to develop over time. And like what, like LinkedIn just changed their algorithm again recently. I'm sure were you aware? It's always changing. But they're picking up like more of the strategy that Instagram has had and TikTok has had. So it's showing you more of the content that they think that you want to see, which I don't know. I don't know about that. I have opinions about that because I'm like, I don't know that I want to see this because a lot of the content that they show me is like not your content. It's like some recruiter or some like whatever life coach over here with 100,000 followers and really isn't like there. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't really want to, Oh, watch this. But technology, as it evolves constantly, it's constantly changing that landscape of marketing. Do you have any favorite tools for marketing automation or anything that you are like your go-tos?
Yeah, I really like any platform that provides me data. I really do. So these built-in, especially on these social platforms or just these ad platforms being like Google or various search engines, your LinkedIn or your Meta, I love that they have these baked in pieces of data and you can change what you want to see based off of what your true performance metrics are, because not all campaigns are created equal either. And so what I'm tracking for this may be completely different as to what I'm tracking for this campaign based off of the intention. And so all of those built-in ad platforms are great because not only can you build all of your assets there and dump them in, you get to see data and then make data-driven decisions, which is really what I'm doing moving forward. We're not basing it off of feel goods or the way that we've always done it. Data is seriously king in a lot of situations. And if we're using that to make better decisions, we can create more predictable outcomes and results, which is what marketing, I think, is. It's a great bolster to that. But any of those platforms that allow me to have data so that I know how to better spend assets, time, effort, resources, and all of that are great. And that in tandem with a couple of AI solutions are really cool. There are so many awesome tools out there, but what it's allowing us to do is to make content a lot faster, not 100% getting it there to the 1 yard line, but it's nice because those who are using it correctly and are using it as a tool and not a crutch.
Interesting. I love that. That's powerful advice. Like, it's just data, right? There's no feelings. Just follow what it says, right?
And we can do things we like and things maybe that have worked in the past. But when it comes down to brass tacks, if we're trying to make true impact and we're trying to make better decisions and better utilize our limited resources and create a return, we have to look at as much of the objective information as possible. So I like feel goods and I'm an emotional guy, just like a lot of other people. I'm a marketer and a musician for what it's worth. But that being said, in God we trust, everybody else brings data.
I love that. That's epic. Thank you for that. I love that so much. So you've been in business for about a year and you're growing your own workforce. And I just wanted to touch on that because it's been so fun watching you grow and start out on your own. And now you've got like, how many are you up to? Five? Got a bunch of
team of five, scrappy team of five, nice and lean. And it's great. Provides a lot of power and back end. Never thought it would be that way, specifically even within a year's time. But I'm just thankful and blessed because I have some really awesome people that I work with that I probably don't deserve because they're all just way smarter than me, but I'm so thankful.
So as a business owner, what have you had any challenges with that? Have there been any like roadblocks when you've been adding to your workforce and growing your workforce?
Totally. But I've learned by osmosis, I should say, after working so closely with so many small to medium to large size business owners and C-suite leaders over the last 14, 15 years of my life, I've just learned a lot. And instead of going in and hiring full time for a role that I thought was convenient because I know the ebbs and flows of businesses and things along those lines, being able to try with other specific services, with freelance work and really gauging. And that's something I'm really proud because I didn't want to jump into. So I'm going to bring this person on because I'm taking a huge commitment to them and they're committing to me. And there's also financial risk to that. And so as a startup, I have to be really scrappy in making sure that when I do invest resources into a human being or a process or a system or a technology, that it either has client impact or direct business impact. So I've seen a lot of individuals just add people because they like them. And if I would have added someone to my business because I liked them, I'd have a million people working for me right now. Exactly. So that's been the fine line because there are plenty of people who I know would absolutely crush it working with myself and my clients. But I wanted it to be very intentional, but also not having to bring anybody on a full-time basis so I can surround myself with other ambitious creators is something that I think has been the hack that works really well for me. And I know it's not for everybody, but it's been a little bit of a hack because I can still get some really intentional time with some really talented people. And then also they can still feel connected and feel like they're still a part of something. And it's my job just to keep them empowered and to keep them just to be empathetic to them and to keep them just so they can stay in their lanes of creative genius and allowing myself to extract that respectfully and then provide value back to them. That's the game.
I love that. You do so well at that too. You have always been so supportive of me and I appreciate that so much. And really, again, coaxed me out of my shell a little bit. You're excelling at empowerment. So appreciate you.
Thanks. No worries at all.
Yeah. I know that you are super busy with everything, but before we drop today, I got to know, like, for those listening out in the audience, how can we get a hold of you?
Heck yeah. You can find me on Facebook, Eddie Saunders Jr. You can find me on Instagram at Eddie the Announcer, where you can see all of my professional combat sports announcing antics, which is a good time. Check it out. It's great for your timeline if you need a break and some exciting stuff. But then professionally, aside from that, when it comes to anything Speak Friend, I'm very easy to find on LinkedIn at Eddie Saunders Jr. Or feel free to visit my website. Got a very condensed, really cool, user-friendly, very visually appealing website at speakfriend.io. That's speakfriend.io. Hey, and if you're looking to chat, you can actually connect with me. It takes less than 30 seconds to book something on my link right through my website.
Awesome. I love that so much. Eddie, it's always so fun talking to you. I just have the best time.
The true story. True, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Perfect. I appreciate you coming on the show today and just hanging out with me and sharing your wisdom with all those listening. And for those listening today, I really appreciate your time as well. Make sure you connect with Eddie. All of his information will be in the show notes too. Until next time, we will see you later on Workforce 4.0.